Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. It is a Thursday. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you on this Thursday. Max Powers producing. He's got us covered on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. That's where you can get in touch with us if you're driving around listening on KFH. If you're watching us on one of our video streams, thank you for watching us on 12 News Connected. If you're on Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can leave us video comments there. You can leave us voice messages if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. Just click the little microphone and your messages will come right through. Max can listen through those and put them out over the air. We appreciate you being here with us. TJ, good morning. How are you? We lost your mic there, TJ, and so we're going to tell you that we are going to have a busy show today. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, will be in as K-State falls last night in their game at Arizona. So they are not in any good feeling right now. 24-point loss, 101-76. Wichita State falls to Rice. Yes, you heard that correct. Wichita State falls to Rice last night. So we will discuss that as well. Plenty to talk about there. We have those discussions. We got the CFP returning tonight, too. Did you even know that? Did you notice they're playing on a Thursday night? Miami, Ole Miss, should be a good one. Major NBA star is traded. Surprise NFL draft entry from a popular college quarterback. And very unfortunately, a situation with another Chiefs player off the field that we'll have to discuss. It's all coming for you. What's on tap? Brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where you can drink Buffalo Sweat and help Buffalo right here in Kansas. In January and February at all three WBC locations, a portion of proceeds from every draft pint of Buffalo Sweat Oatmeal Cream Stout will help support Maxwell Wildlife Refuge, WBC Pizza and Beer made here. Let's try that again. TJ, good morning. How are you?
This just pisses me off. What's wrong with my microphone? At the opening of each show, it's not even halfway through. We're going to do it as soon as we do it. I even test the mic before the show. People think I'm crazy here. We're going to get it figured out one day. It's on. Shockers last night. Couldn't sleep. Paul Mills said he's going to have a lot of sleepless nights, and so am I after watching what I saw last night.
Yeah, look, it's I hate to say it's more of the same, but it's more of the same. Wichita State loses a game they had no business losing. We'll get into it. It's a very disappointing outcome. And we are now already on January 8th, I fear, creeping into that territory that we always fear with Wichita State of apathy, right? You know, do people default, tree falls in the forest, nobody's around to hear? Does it make a sound? Are Shocker fans angry or are Shocker fans apathetic? I think you'd much rather have them angry, but a 66-64 loss as a 12.5-point home favorite against Rice after blowing an 18-point lead on the road against Charlotte, two teams that are not very good, that's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a scary part. It's the scary part that we always talk about, is that you'd rather have people pissed off than don't care at all. And last night, absolutely. I mean, 30 minutes before the game, you're sitting there looking at it and said, man, this looks like a crowd of a team that just blew a 20-point lead to Charlotte over the weekend on a Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. So tough to get them out after that. They, you know, wasn't a great attended game, and they were gone by, you know, the 30-second mark of the game. There was nobody in there as players walked off the court. So it's bad because you, like, it's not bad in the terms of, like, it's over. It's so over because we talk about that all the time. But, like, if there, you need to get the momentum going, and a loss like last night really, you know, halt you, if not gives you a step back.
Well, look, you we know what the American is this year. I mean, you're going to have to win the conference tournament. We've known that for a long time. But I, you know, that we're two different things, right? The Shockers' chances in the postseason and the reality of the situation currently are two different things. Doesn't matter if they win every conference game now. They're not, it's not going to get them into the NCAA tournament. Wasn't going to, whether they lost to Rice or not. They're 9-6 going into that game. Not going to be good enough, right? So there is that component of the, how good is this team? How much better can this team be? You know, what are the chances they can be competitive in this, you know, league and all of these things? All of those things exist. And then you have the separate conversation of big picture wise, what are we doing here, right? Like, is this all going to be good enough? Deshaun has a comment via the Odyssey app for us. A call. Sorry, this is 869-1240. This is on the KFH hotline. Deshaun, welcome into Sports Daily. How are you?
Good morning, Jacob. Good morning, TJ. This is Deshaun. I'm reaching out to you guys after last night's game. I was in the building for it, and I have to say, that feels like the worst loss that we've had as a program since the Norfolk State loss. Like, whoever thinks Rice to be a threat. You know, this is not the Big East or prime ACC where every team's a threat to supposed real basketball schools. So, fellas, I need y'all to talk me back off the ledge this morning. Help me understand where there's still hope as a Shocker fan. As it's been 4 or 5 years since our last conference title, every season starts, we have the hope that we're going to do great. Before you get to the halfway point of the season, we're out of it. Haven't been a serious contender in the American for years. And I'm just kind of feeling at the end of my rope as a Shocker fan. So help me see the light, guys. Thanks.
He's got a point. You know, I don't want to go as far as to say it's the worst loss, but I mean, you can make an argument.
Last night felt that bad.
It's the worst conference loss in a long time. It's the first time they've ever lost to Rice since Rice joined it. It's the first time they lost to Rice since 1948, if you want to dig that deep. I'm pretty sure that's what the number was. So it's a tough one to swallow because the point that I kept bringing up last night is that if you want to have a chance, obviously, this isn't a hot take by any means, if you want to have a chance at the end of it, you got to win the games that you're supposed to win, and they just lost two that they had in front of them in the final minute and couldn't get it done. And so it's a tough pill to swallow because, you know, if you're not going to finish high in this American this year, when is it going to happen?
Well, look, and Deshaun's question is the question. The part that sucks the most is it's January 8th and we're having this conversation.
Exactly. You
know, we just started conference play. The 1-7 conference starts the last 2 year did the same thing to us. It is so deflating, right? You have, and there was more, you know, in terms of wins and losses the last 2 years with the bad starts, there was a little more momentum coming into conference play. I think this year, this team has to me looked better than the last couple of years. So they had that momentum, right? Like they've looked better. And then, okay, great. They get a big win against UAB, comeback fashion. Awesome. Charlotte, man, how do you blow an 18-point second half lead? That sucks. It last night was the thing that like can't happen. You can't follow that with a loss to Rice as a 12.5-point home favorite. What, like, what do we, That's the worst thing that could happen. Not just because it's Rice and your big favorite, but because the timing of it. Like, we're just coming off of that Charlotte game.
I think that the biggest punch in the gut about it all is the fact that they've now lost 7 games by 6 points or less is the stat of this. And it's like, and they're all the, you know, a little bit of the same story is it's either they get into a hole to start and they claw back and can't get it done in the final minute, or they go up big, blow it, and then have a chance at the end and can't get it done. And last night it was, they kind of had a big lead. They blew it, had to come back from a hole. They did. And then it was there at the end and they couldn't get it done. And it's, you know, the definition of insanity.
They didn't shoot very well last night. Nope. We're going to Deshaun's question though, on what is the hope, we'll discuss if there is some. We'll also get into K-State on the other side. A Rashi Rice situation we'd rather not talk about, but we will. It's all coming for you here on Sports Daily. Don't go away. It's all Brock and Cleveland. Stick around.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up on another late night of watching college basketball early Thursday morning here. And it was, and we didn't get a lot of enjoyment out of watching last night's college basketball, to be quite frank. Wasn't good, didn't go well for either Wichita State or K-State. K-State a little more expected. We'll get to the Cats. Tim Fitzgerald's going to join us later in the show to talk about not only that big loss to Arizona, but you know what are the chances K-State can be competitive in the Big 12 this year. And then we'll get the latest, of course, with K-State football and all the players coming in, all the players going out, and everything in between. That's coming up in the next hour. We're on the Shockers. Deshaun asks before the break, a Shocker fan, he says at the end of the line, what's the hope here? What's going to keep him engaged? And you know, I'd tell you, I don't know the answer to that. I would tell you that going to Shocker games is always fun. I would tell you that it's a team that feels much better than they're currently playing to me anyway. I think it's a better team than what we're seeing on the floor the last game and a half. But we're in a down conference, 1-2 to start things off here, losing games we have no business losing. This is if you're the Shockers and a Shocker fan. I get it. What are you supposed to do? Like, what is the great hope here? You already knew you're going to have to win a conference tournament to get in. But the expectation for Wichita State at the end of the day needs to be an at-large contender every year. That's where the program should be. That's what's reasonable. They haven't been there in a long time. And I don't know what turns it around. I don't know what makes this team not play the way they played yesterday, not shoot. What did they shoot? 27, under 30% from the field against a team like Rice. I have no idea. Not sure. Remember when you guys were making fun of me, TJ, for saying I didn't know if this was going to be a great three-point shooting team?
They have been the last two games, though.
They have been what?
I mean, they haven't been a 29% from the field type of team. I mean, last night was a bad night, and I think that you know, not to be this guy, but this is what Jacob Albrock's stance typically is. I'm surprised you haven't said it yet of saying that, like, they, you know, it's January 8th and there's still 2 months left. And that's the thing that you can kind of hang your hat on still, because it's a team that we saw almost beat St. Mary's.
Two different conversations.
I know.
That's not the thing. That's the reality. That's not the thing, though, that's going to give Shocker fans any hope.
I mean,
the reality is they're 1-2 who in a league, they're going to have to win the conference tournament. Who cares? Right. That's the reality.
If you want to have hope, it's entirely up to the Shockers to show you that you should have hope at this point. Like, I mean, Deshaun's got a point. Like, it's the hope that this team can go beat Memphis and Tulsa and North Texas and, you know, claw their way back into this thing and have a chance and make you feel good about going to Fort Worth at the end of the year and having a chance to get in. Like, you lose to Rice, it's a real punch in the gut. Like, it sucks. And so I'm with you on that fact. But there, you know, there's only one way up from here, basically. And I think that, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and play rose-colored glasses or anything like that. But it is a team that we saw in the same breath, you know, you're not getting beat by 30 every game. You're getting beat by two. You know, you're that close to getting it figured out. And so I think that something just has to give and something has to change. And I don't know what that is, but, you know, you can't chalk it up. And to be fair, would we say that Taylor Eldridge had a story that they're the unluckiest team in all of college basketball? At some point, you know, the pendulum will swing your way a little bit, but you also have to, you know, manufacture your own luck.
Last night was not unlucky. Last night was bad basketball.
You could make a case for the final play that there was a little bit.
Yeah, I don't even care. Honestly, like the final play, it sucked. I mean, it was very unfortunate. I get it. Like it's a tough call and a tough situation. And
you're also down by 13 points to Rice.
It's flipping Rice. Okay. Like and no offense to them. Like that's not that. And I'm glad we haven't gotten there yet. I mean, it does suck that call went that way, but you can't have yourself, and to the Shocker's credit, nobody, from what I heard, from what you were sending out from post, like nobody was making excuses on that. Like it just, you can't be in that situation. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, the sentiment that they said, basically, Michael Gray, I asked him about it, and he said, man, I thought it was a shooting foul, but they didn't, so they waved it off, but it's our fault for being in a situation where we needed a final three in the 2 seconds after the game, so like it's kind of our fault. And then Coach Mills said, no, they got the call right. And I said,
it's a tough call.
And he said, yeah, I watched it back. They got the call right.
It's a tough call. I don't have a strong opinion on it either way, other than
if you look at the video that I got, it shouldn't have been a foul at all. He stepped out of bounds.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, again, it's not, it doesn't even register to me as the most relevant things like at all.
No.
It's a one small part of a bigger issue. You've got two different situations. The hope is, I don't know what the reality is, all the things that you said that we always say. It's January 8th. There's a ton of basketball to be played. This team is still way engaged, talented, and fine. The conference isn't very good. This team could absolutely win the conference tournament. No big deal, right? But that's not the same. That's not what Deshaun's asking about. Deshaun's asking about, like, what should get me fired up about Shocker basketball right now? And that's the problem, right? The reality is, yeah, they could still go win the conference tournament. Sure, they could. And it's way early in the conference schedule. Like it's none of this is that big a deal. It's a big deal that it was a home loss, I suppose. But that's not the challenge Wichita State basketball has faced now for the last, I don't know, 6 years. The challenge is you can't get people fired up for it. And we saw this summer, people are ready to get fired up for something. You walked up and sold out TBT games this summer. So the fans are ready to explode on this, but they just they continue to stumble through this. And so there are two very different things that we have to think about right now with Shocker basketball. How do you get butts in the seat? How do you re-engage a fan base? One of the best fan bases in the country. Like, how do you do all these things? Because apathy is setting in and people are just like, yeah, whatever. Right. Whatever. I don't know. They lost. We'll see if they tune in. Conference tournament will get here. We'll see if they win. And the only way to do that is to go win like 10 straight games, right? Like get hot, get buzz, get something going that, you know, fans can talk about, that we can talk about. How are we supposed to get excited about last night's game? I don't know. I mean, you just can't.
I know.
You can't. That's the problem.
I don't know. It's such a just poor situation to be in for Wichita State, and like, you know, not a poor me situation, because it, you know, the table's set for them and the table's been set for them in the American this year to do everything that they want to do. And I know Coach Mills talked about on Monday that they're not a big, you know, goal setting program. They're a habit setting program, but you know, the habits didn't show up last night. And to be, and not to dog here, I mean, they shot 29% from the field, like, and they just didn't make shots. And so I don't know. It's just, I'm with you 100%, and I know that all the fans are as well, that, you know, it sucks that we're sitting here on a Thursday morning talking about this, and people are going to go to the water cooler last night and say, hey, did you see the game last night? And they're going to say, who played? What are you talking about? K-State? The game that K-State lost by 30? That's what people are going to talk about instead.
Charlotte and Rice are two of the five worst teams, according to KenPom, in the American this year. That'd be the fear. You know what my fear today is? They just lost two games to two of the five worst teams in the league. So
how bad is it going to get? How bad is it going to get?
Because we saw it get real bad the last 2 years. And they
worse.
Better.
If that's the case, then it's just going to be worse.
They better put the clamps on this thing and get it together. the game itself. What can they do to be better? I'm starting to get a little worried, TJ, about Gray, Giles, and Boyd seeming like the only guys that are taking shots on this team. Corafor ended up taking some shots, but like they're going to have to try to do something. Like, this has to spread out a little bit, I think. When the Shockers have been, what's the best win do you think the Shockers have had all year? Northern Iowa? Is that the one we're pointing at just because of the quality of opponent there?
Yeah, probably.
Northern Iowa on the road. You know, you're looking at a game.
UAB on the road's a big one too.
Northern Iowa on the road. We'll start there. And I've not looked these up. This is in real time just because I'm curious about it. You had four players take at least eight shots in that game. UAB, another good one. But again, that was kind of a comeback win. I don't know that I'd, whatever. Well, let's just take a look here. That was a game where, Berg took 10 shots, Boyd 9, Giles 17, TJ Williams took 7 shots, Gray, a lot of guys were shooting. You watch a game like last night, and it's like they can't become that one-dimensional, especially when they're relying on shooters, because shooters get cold. Yeah. And if you get cold, you better be able to create some more offense than they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a weird scenario. I agree. I mean, Okorafor got to 7 shots eventually, but I mean, it took a minute to get there. I mean, Giles missed 10 threes last night. Caron Boyd went 0-for-7 from the field last night. Like, it was just a cold night, and you know that happens in basketball, but you just have to find a way to adjust. And to their credit, they did. It was a little too late, and they ran out of time, and they couldn't get it done in the final second. And I mean, they tied it up and then immediately gave up a 7-0 run, and that was kind of what did them in there at the end of the game. So it's just there's like, it's one of the ones where you watch it and you're just like, it feels like they just got outmatched by Rice. Like, there's nothing you could say. Like, they turned it over 15 times. Like, they shot themselves in the foot. It's just like they could not make shots, and Rice looked better than they did.
Wichita State right now is 191st in the country in made threes per game, 71st in 3-point percentage. So, like, I don't like last night seeing a 3-for-13 performance from Kenyon Giles. Like, I don't mind letting Kenyon Giles shoot, but the Shockers are never going to be the best version of themselves, my opinion here, if they're just chucking a bunch of threes. Like, they're not, like, it's a part of their game, but it's not like the strength of the team or anything like that. They're in fact, they're probably better at it than they have been in a few years. But this isn't a team that can just start firing away. Like, I don't think that's going to work. Where does the offense come from? You scored 64 points against Rice. 64 points against Rice. Rice is the 237th best defensive team in the country right now. You score 64 points? You've got, like, just beat them down. Go get your buckets. Control that game. Like, that's what, watching last night, it was a major offensive issue. Like, just no rhyme or reason to it. And I don't know why that is. I'm not smart enough to know why that happens. But if I'm looking at that game, it's like, where is the offense against this team? It just doesn't, at home, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yep. I agree. I mean, that's the best way to put it, is it doesn't make a lot of sense of what we saw. And so it's just, it's frustrating, and it sucks for all the fans involved. It sucks for the university that's just a situation that it is right now. And, you know, the only person that can change it is the Shockers. They just need to go take care of their business. So, big chance to do it against North Texas on Sunday, who just beat Tulsa. North Texas is 134 in the KenPom. Wichita State's still a, top 4 or 5 team per the metrics. They just need to, and like I keep saying, like, it's Chiefs-esque, like, it's like this season, where it's like the Chiefs are showing you enough to make you think that they're still good, but then they lose the game. It's like, well, I don't know. Are they good? Like, they need to finish the games to make me feel better here, and that's kind of what it feels like watching the Shockers right now.
I don't think the Shockers ever got started, let alone finished the game last night. But I agree with you. Usually it's just get it done. Last night, to me, felt a little bit less like, oh, they couldn't finish. They never got started last night. Put the clamps on it right now and make this a one-time. Like, that is a bad loss. I don't know if I agree with Deshaun that it's the worst conference loss they've had in a long time. but it's the worst one I can remember in a long time. And so now you get to go play North Texas, Florida Atlantic, South Florida. You're going to play some good teams now. Two of them are on the road, TJ. So let's not sit here 1-6 having that conversation again after the last 2 years going 1-7 to start. We'll see if they can get it turned around. They'll play again. That game against North Texas is Sunday, 2:00 at home, Charles Koch Arena. I will say you know this better. We'll finish with kind of vibes here. How do the players seem to you after the game?
I mean, they've been pretty – it was Gray and Giles, the only two that we talked to. But, I mean, they've been as even-keeled as they've been all season of, like, nobody – like, and, I mean, questions were asked last night about, you know, how tough is this pill to swallow? Like, where do you go from here? What is going wrong? Like, does something have to change? And, I mean, they basically were just saying, like, listen, guys, like, we know. We know what's going on. We know – the issues that are in front of us right now, and we know that it's our job to fix it. And, you know, there was unfortunate things that happened in the Charlotte game, and there's unfortunate things that happened in this game, but it's our fault for letting it get to that point anyways. And so it's just something of, you know, to kind of just even keeled moving on to the next game. The same sentiment that Paul Mills has is that, you know, they're not going to overreact to a win or a loss, and they're trying to just move on to the next game. And that's the only thing you really can do logically. And so, you know, credit to them if that's actually the vibe of the locker room.
I kind of think it's time to start overreacting to some losses. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's time to overreact to that loss last night. An overreaction would be appropriate today at practice to that loss last night.
I will say, you know, it was kind of listening to Coach Mills speak last night. It was, you know, and he was right about everything he said about, like,
sure,
Rice showed them different things than they've seen. The Broadnax guy, which I thought his name was Broadnax all night. I learned after the game it was Broadnax. Broadnax, you know, ended up scoring 22 points. They played a lot more iso ball than they have the entire year, and he kind of, you know, put it to him a little bit and grew that lead out whenever they grew that lead out. And, you know, kind of caught the Shockers off guard, and that's everything that happened. And then, you know, Rice is a team that, you know, almost beat Memphis and all this stuff. And it's like, listen, like, at some point, the other foot's got to drop and say, like, we've lost 6-7 games like this, and something has to change. And I think that there is the sentiment of that, but I don't think it's to the point where we are where we were last year when Paul Mills was saying they were doing two-a-day practices because they're not good at basketball.
Yeah, it's
come if they can't figure it out. You know, that listen, was around this time.
It's easy for me because I can just say the team is talented enough to win the conference tournament. Like, I can keep my motivation for encouragement high enough internally. I can, because I can just see it. Like, it just seems like a team that in their best game is as good as anybody in the leagues. That's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is, how do you convince the fans of that? How do you convince the fans to come pay for a ticket? That's the issue at hand. How do we keep that fan base engaged enough? And those kinds of games crush momentum to doing that kind of thing. All right. 869-1240, you can react on the air. Patricia says Berg at 7 foot tall has been a non-factor on offense or defense. I think he's a factor. I think he's still finding it. I think, you know, mixing in he and Okorafor together is the right mix. I think they both have it, but in spurts probably.
Let me tell you, if you want to say something about Will Berg, that dude is on the floor a lot as a 7-footer. Like, I was like, he's gonna get a concussion because he goes down so freaking hard.
Go up strong, big fella. The old Bill Walton moment there. Kind of has a Bill Walton vibe. Either way, thank you, Patricia, for the comment. John on YouTube has a problem with the coaching staff. Says they don't have an identity. They don't play defense. I thought they played okay defense last night, but they didn't against Charlotte, certainly. Appreciate the comment there, John. Folks reaching out to us directly. Michael on X. Saying it's coaching issue. I mean, coaches are the accountable ones. Certainly, that never changes really, but it's certainly not easy. It's not an easy situation there at Wichita State as the Shockers continue to struggle. Shouldn't be losing games to Rice at home. We'll get back to it. Want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. A little rain out there this morning.
I can hear it. I don't know if you can hear it on my microphone. It's loud.
Yeah, I can't hear it on the microphone, but I can hear it when I walk upstairs. And the we showed a picture on the air yesterday that a viewer sent in on 12 News of like some early spring plants trying to bud. This is not going to help that fact. We're going to have more of that after some nice rain. And then it's at some point that Mother Nature is going to drop the hammer on us. I know it's coming and I'm not ready for it. And just give me all the rain and 50 degree, you know, winters that we can have, because I'm not ready to deal with what we dealt with last year in the cold. But, you know, stick out there. Crestview Country Club, maybe they'll green up a little bit. Course looks great. Course is going to be in rocking condition next spring. Those trees that they removed, I don't know how often people are out there, but it looks really good and it'll be fully ready to roll next year. 36 holes of golf. You can go out there and play it right now. Give them a call. Best time of the year to join, they tell us. So give them a call. Ask about those membership options and tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. All right, TJ. Look, the Rashi Rice story sucks. But we don't, there's not much you can do with these. It's one of those where it's hard to do what we do. Because there is a process for these things. And now in a world of social media, juries and, you know, and things are out immediately. You must have an immediate reaction to these situations. You must have, or you're a sympathizer. Oh, you're not going to say the Chiefs should cut Rashi Rice? Well, then what are you okay with domestic violence? Like, that's what sucks. And it sucks worse when it's a guy who has a now track record of making really poor decisions. But Rashi Rice was accused yesterday by is it an ex-girlfriend? Of his domestic violence, the mother of a child of his, of violence. And they're pretty grisly accusations. She put out a bunch of pictures, but as of last night, there has not been a police report filed. There have not been any charges brought against Rice. So we wait, and we wait very uncomfortably in another situation involving a Chiefs wide receiver off the field. And look, there have been instances of these where it was found that, you know, that was somebody being dishonest. There are also instances of these that are some of the most horrific things you can imagine. The Chiefs put out a statement yesterday. The club is aware of the allegations on social media and in communication with the National Football League. We have no further comment at this time. So we wait.
That's the only thing that we know, basically. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the, you know, journalistic standards of the story, the only thing that we have on the record of anything is that the Chiefs are aware of the situation. And that's all that we even said. The Chiefs didn't even use the word Rashi Rice in the statement either. You know, like, that's how careful of a situation it is to tread around this thing. And so, you know, obviously all signs point to that it's a bad situation all around. Obviously nobody wants that to happen if that's a truthful thing. And then, you know, as you know, people that talk about sports, you make the impossible transition into what it means for the Kansas City Chiefs if something is true. You know, I don't think that we need to really dig into the hypotheticals of something that hasn't had a police charge even filed yet, and just kind of wait uncomfortably is basically the only thing that we can do right now. But it does, you know, that's kind of the thought that crosses the back of your mind once you get over the immediate, this is awful. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it is awful. It's awful that the situation exists in the first place. And the other thing that you cannot ignore is what Rashi Rice has dealt with in the past, right? The decisions that he's made. Unfortunately for him, that's the reality of life, right? Tyreek Hill had some gnarly accusations against him that we had to take more seriously. Why? Because he'd done some of the exact same things and been, you know, convicted of them. So these are grain of salt situations and they suck, but until you get a little more going, it's hard to react to it because anybody can say anybody about anything online at any time they want to. Just sure. The reality of the situation.
Yes, and that's the best way to put it, basically. And like, I don't want people to listen and think that we're just saying like, well, let's hear his side of the story. Cause that's not what we're saying at all. We're saying the fact of like, it's, you know, this is the way you have to handle things in, you know, professional journalistic settings and everything of that nature of, you know, everybody deserves a due trial and the, you know, the judicial system and everything like that. And that's, just where we sit right now, and it's basically just waiting, and that's all we can do. So
the Chiefs' comfort level with these situations also doesn't help. They've been comfortable taking on players with these kinds of issues in their past. They brought back Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill. They had no problem bringing in Tyreek Hill after the things that those were actual things, right? Those weren't just accusations. Frank Clark got in a lot of trouble off the field while he was there. They're comfortable with it. And, you know, Andy Reid is a believer in second chances. I am too, by the way, but you're sleeping in the bed you made. If you're the Chiefs, like you're the Chiefs, like you deserve probably the quick snap reactions because you had to be willing to take them when you take certain players and welcome them onto your roster. And so we'll just wait on this one. It will be significant. Look, if this is real, I mean, what do you do if you're the Chiefs? Are you that dedicated to Rushy Rice? You can deal with this again?
I don't think so.
I doubt
it. But again, we don't know, basically. And so, like,
right. You get into hypotheticals of what the team's the team is reacting appropriately right now, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean,
they're taking the right approach. My question is, if there are legs to this, if more comes of it, what are they going to do? You know, like what do you just cut ties at that point?
We're talking about a guy that still has to serve 30 days of jail time for the other thing that happened, basically. And the guy that just missed 6 games of a suspension. And then we've seen how the NFL has handled this type of thing. Like they bring the hammer down harder than, six games, on the bigger side of everything that we've seen of what happened on the other situation, not saying nothing was deserved because, awful situation there as well. So I don't know. I mean, the NFL is going to bring the hammer down as well. So, I mean, it's something that's like, do you want to even mess with it? And I don't know if they do.
If it's true. The NFL will drop the hammer. Maybe the Chiefs don't have to worry about it. Like if they get into it and this is any part of this is true, the NFL is going to probably handle this too. So if you're the Chiefs, you'll just make the easy. I don't know. I hate that it's happening. The accusation again for Rashee Rice is that, he abused his ex-girlfriend and she put it out on social media. But again, no charges have been filed. And there's no, police are not looking for Rice or anything like that. So it is way early. But we know how we know how the world is. People, if you can't come to an immediate conclusion, you're, I guess, irrelevant. There was a lot of that yesterday on a lot of different things happening around the country. This was one of them. You better have an opinion right now. Right now. If I don't rush to social media and give my thoughts on a horrible domestic violence situation potentially on a Chiefs wide receiver, then I'm not doing my job. Like that's the feeling I think sometimes, but we'll wait and see because it's a big accusation and Rashee Rice is in the middle of another off field situation, one way or the other, he's in the middle of it. And it's just kind of par the course for the Chiefs. This happens all the time with Kansas City. The reality is we see this all the time. And it's hard. It's hard to deal with. It's hard to deal with as a fan, too, right? Like, you don't want the team you root for to be dealing with this crap. You just rather have high-quality people around the organization, I think.
I know.
It sucks.
Yeah. I said, basically the only way to handle the situation is just to sit around and wait and wait to see what we see, because we're going to see stuff in the coming days, I'd have to imagine, one way or
that'll
another. And
then
we'll have the conversation then of saying, like, okay, well, this happened. What does that mean for the Chiefs football-wise? What does that mean if something doesn't happen, on the other side of the coin, what does that mean? What decisions do the Chiefs have to make at that point? Like, there's conversations that will be had, but right now, like, as we said, the only thing that is on the record that we know is that there was a post and there was a comment from the Chiefs saying that they are aware of the post, and that's it.
We have not yet seen, correct me if I'm wrong, at least I haven't, any response from Rashee Rice yet?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's what else we're waiting on.
Yep.
Is Rashee Rice to say something, whether he says, I didn't do any of this or nothing. Nothing feels a little damning. Like, probably if you didn't do any of this, say, hey, I didn't do any of this. But we'll see what comes of it as the days go by here. All right, we're making our way through a 30. You can give us your comments and thoughts on that. We won't have a ton for the reasons that we've laid out for you. It's hard to have comments on a situation that just is very evolving and very early on, but happy to let you discuss whatever you'd like about it. 869-1240, you can do that. Did you say something, DJ?
No.
Sorry. So we'll do that. We'll have in the second hour, Tim Fitzgerald is coming on with us here. We'll talk about, we haven't talked about it yet. We will. K-State got smoked last night. What are the chances here K-State can be seventh or best in the Big 12?
That's a weird game to take anything away from, because Arizona is really, really good. And honestly, yeah. BYU is really, really good too. Like, it's kind of like we got two data points. There are also two data points with two of the best teams in the entire country.
That's accurate. Wyatt Thompson brought that up. And is correct about it. Like, the schedule did not fall good early for K-State. But I'm going to tell you, we all know about there's currently six teams inside the top 20 of the KenPom. Baylor then makes seven inside the top 40. UCF, TCU, both inside the top 50. You've got Oklahoma State inside the top 60. Cincinnati, then Kansas State's down at 72, West Virginia 74, Colorado 80, Arizona State 92, and Utah right now bringing up the rear at 131. So there is one team currently in the conference outside the top 100 of the KenPom. One. That's it. Two outside the top 80. It's not going to get a whole lot easier, right? Like that. It's not going to get more difficult than what Kansas State has faced out of the gates. I agree with you on that, but it ain't ever going to be easy in the Big 12.
So, I mean, the funny part about it is that, like, even if K-State like rolled through their non-conference schedule and was like, we were beating our chest about, like, man, they've only got one loss and it was to Nebraska. Like, this looks pretty good. Like, the chances that they would have gone 0-2 in their last two games was still pretty high.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4 teams below K-State right now in the Big 12. They will play three of them, I think, two of them, sorry, Arizona State, Utah, and the other two that are kind of ranked right with them, UCF and Oklahoma State. That's their next four games. If they play the next four games, like, can you win all four? That would be the thing where I'm like, okay, like, we're in there. But it's going to take something like that to do it, which includes road wins in the conference. We'll talk to Fitz about it in the next hour. We'll get you ready for a college football playoff game on a Thursday. That's coming in the next hour as well. Plus your comments, calls, thoughts. It's all welcome here on Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily here. Jake Balbrock, TJ Cleland with you. Glad to be with you on a Thursday, a day after a tough Shocker loss, after a tough K-State loss, after some tough news with the Chiefs and another player potentially, and what they're dealing with now. But we'll get to some more maybe interesting and positive things. Tim Fitzgerald's going to join us from K-State. How's it feel about K-State football? All the additions made. We'll talk basketball with Fitz as well. That's coming up a little bit later. A bit of news with the Kansas City Royals we'll get to in this hour, and we will preview the college football playoff, the first game of the semifinals underway tonight. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring chili for a limited time. Hearty beef, no bean chili, perfect for lunch, and now available at all three WBC locations, East, West, and Historic Delano. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. We are back with you. Glad to be with you. Max Power producing. He's got your KFH hotline, 869-1240. You can watch us, of course, on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Listen to us on the Odyssey app. Lots of different ways to comment on the show, and we can do any of it. So just let us know what you're thinking about. Shocker fans reacting, probably appropriately, this morning, TJ, to a very disappointing loss last night. We'll continue to take those reactions as well. But I want to talk a little college football playoff here, and then we'll get to the news with the Royals. We haven't actually had a chance to talk about the latest with the Royals, so we'll do that. But first, let's preview this game tonight. Who is the appropriate team to root for here, by the way? You know, I don't think there are any bad guys in this semifinal. Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, Indiana. There's no obvious, you got to root against this team. Yep. Who's the right team to root for out of these four?
I don't know. I'd say that Miami of the four is probably my least one that I would root for. Okay. But I don't really know why. I think it's just because they've had success in the past.
I grew up on the U, man. The U of the early 2000s was as cool a college football team as we've ever had. So like, I always have some affinity.
I think that's why, more so, is that they've been like, have the other three been to it? I mean, Oregon obviously has had their runs and everything like that, but have they made it to the...
None of this group have had the level of success Miami's had on two different generations, really, of football. Not in my time, more in Max's time, there was also, you know, the Jimmy Johnson, Schnellenberger? Miami Hurricanes, too. So, my version of the Hurricanes was a little later.
You were watching Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No, I was not. That was still, he might have been on some of those teams, but we're talking like, you know, the Ray Lewis, Willis McGahee, Ed Reed.
Yeah. I think that the perfect scenario in my mind for my rooting interest is that I want to see Ole Miss win again just to like see this whole thing come to fruition.
It's hard not to pull for it, isn't it?
I want to see that happen just for the chaos of it. And then obviously Indiana, I think, or Oregon. I really don't care in that game. I like Dan Lanning a lot. He's a Kansas guy.
I like
guy,
Dan Lanning so a lot,
I'd
too.
Like to see. Do you know Dan Lanning's from Kansas? Dan Lanning's from Kansas.
I think I knew that.
That's why he recruits Kansas so hard. But yeah, either of those guys I'd be happy with as well. But I'd say that Ole Miss is who I'm pulling
They're
for.
All four great stories. They're all four great stories because you have Miami as the last team in. And you know, it's so silly. Like, we saw Alabama get housed, right? Like, just absolutely crushed. And did we have the same reaction as to when James Madison got crushed? Like, should Alabama not have a seat at the table? You know what I mean? Really? Like, what I love about this playoff is we're seeing it play out on the field. And I think there are tweaks, and we've talked about it a million times. The format can be better, and it probably will be as soon as next year. But at the end of the day, we have four teams in there that I don't think if you know, at the beginning of the season, people probably had Oregon in this spot. Nobody had Miami, Ole Miss, or Indiana in this spot at the beginning of the season. That's a good thing. We've had upsets aplenty. We've had, you know, we've had great storylines, which is what you always want. Indiana's one of the great comeback stories program-wise. I mean, you're putting it right there with Bill Snyder and K-State. Like, that's how wild a turnaround that's been for them. Oregon, can they finally get over the hump? Ole Miss with obviously the Lane Kiffin stuff, throw the bird. Like, the Ole Miss story is fantastic. And then Miami is the last team to get in that people were, you know, we were all heeing and hawing that should they be in or whatever. Well, here they are. And they beat one of the teams everybody thought was going to win. I think we've had an incredible run to get to this point. All four of these teams are an easy story to sell and to tell. So we should have a really high quality. And now we're to the point too, TJ, with these teams, everybody's played a game. The rust is all shaken off now. Like, everybody's ready to rock and roll. I suspect that both of these games are going to be really good. They're both 3.5-point lines, but I think they're both going to be really good, really entertaining games.
Yeah, I think so as well. I got to bring this up. Did you see this video yesterday at the Fiesta Bowl press conference? Because it's kind of silly, but they still do the bowl game press conferences like bowl games where they put both coaches up there and do it. And so, like, for all these playoff games, they do this for each of them, and both coaches go up there and do the joint press conference thing, and it's kind of silly, but whatever. They do it, and yesterday they did the Fiesta Bowl one of Pete Golding and Mario Cristobal, and you know how this goes, that people ask a question, and they're like, for either of you, what would it mean for this team to win a national championship? And there's a compilation somebody put together. I can't remember who it was, some reporter, that every single time that somebody asked, for both of you, Golding just went like this and just didn't look up and made Cristobal answer every single one of them, to the point where Cristobal was throwing his hands and looked at him and said, hey, you want to answer this one? You want to go ahead? Go ahead and answer this one. And just tried to mess with his mind so much. He was so pissed off. It was pretty funny.
That I wouldn't make Cristobal mad. He looks like he could kick a little tail. What a great story Ole Miss is. Like, Lane
Shambliss,
Kiffin.
The Shambliss stories.
The Shambliss stories. I think Shamblin's got a chance to make some run in the NFL. He kind of fits the profile of today's NFL quarterback a little bit. And he's you know, you and I are small school guys. Like he checks a lot of boxes for me to be a big
fan. The kind, I mean, there's a chance that he could have been the NFL quarterback without even going to Ole Miss, like as a backup, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like he could have had a spot without even going to Ole Miss.
He's got a skill set that translates to today's NFL. I can't wait to, like, as draft season approaches, to listen to NFL scouts talk about him. I think he's the most interesting quarterback in this class, because like as far as like wide range of outcomes, but just like this Ole Miss story with Lane Kiffin. I mean, it is very possible. And this is where it becomes, I think they're kind of, people are rooting for him a little bit. Nobody likes what happened with Lane Kiffin. He goes to LSU, middle of the season, whatever, tries to like come back, wants to keep coaching him, like all the weirdness of it. There is at least a decent chance now that Ole Miss goes and wins a national title and Lane Kiffin's fired in 3 years. And you want to talk about like decisions that you make? Like, you chose to walk away from this.
I mean, this is why. Yeah, this is why it was such a major story, is because you had to make the decision that, like, you know, do you want the right now or do you want what could be, you know?
And why would you? Right? Why would you? I am wired so much more like Kurt Cignetti than I am like Lane Kiffin. Like, in my head, and I've been this way professionally, like, there's not, like, I don't need to go to, I don't need some shiny new car to show that I'm good at what I do. Like, I'm more like Cignetti. Nah, I'm good here. I'll do awesome things here. I don't need to go. Why do I need to go to LSU? We're right here, right now. And Lane Kiffin said, sorry, guys, great year. Appreciate it. I'm going to go over there. It's a better program than you. They're better than you, is what he told his team.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, it's basically the thing that I read between the lines of all the situation is basically him looking at Ole Miss and saying, like, yeah, I mean, we're in the playoff, but I mean, we're kind of just in the playoff, you know, like we're not going to
shiny
that.
New thing. Right. You've always got to try to go to the big, it's a premier program. I got to go to that. I got to go be the coach at LSU. It's LSU. Meanwhile, Ole Miss has had great success, and it's like, dude, we're right here. Like,
could you imagine if he would have stayed and Ole Miss would have let him and he was still coaching? Like, that's the part of, like, all the coordinators are doing it. Could you imagine if there was a head coach trying to head coach two programs during the portal era?
And to get, like, offended that they wouldn't let you do that, that would have been a hot flipping mess.
Yes.
Like, what? Like, get over yourself. Like, why can't I coach my team? Because you left. You said that LSU's better than them. Bye. Oh, man. A great story. It makes it hard not to root for Ole Miss. It really does. As much as there's a big part of me that's like, I would like to see ACC or Big 12, right, win this and not Big 10 or SEC. Sure. Because I think Miami winning is the best, you know, case scenario for the Big 12. So it's hard for me not to want them to win this all.
That's true.
But it, man, I can't quit the Ole Miss story. It's so good.
The headline of yesterday's press conference that everybody keeps talking, I'm watching ESPN, is that Pete Golding had a quote out of context, but said, quote, the players don't give a damn who runs them out of the tunnel.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right. And that's the right temperament for this moment for him, too. It's amazing. The best thing that could have ever happened to college football is this is a semifinal nobody saw coming. College football forever has been too predictable. Forever. This has been the best. Like, for, I know we all don't like the portal. I know the NIL is getting out of control. But we're looking at a semifinal that none of us saw coming. That's a good thing. Like, We're getting there. We're getting there. Baby steps, right? We'll talk to Tim Fitzgerald about all things college football, especially K-State, coming up in a little bit. When we come back, though, should we start worrying that the Royals aren't going to be in Kansas City? I think it's a valid question. We'll ask it next.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
High school sports coverage on Sports Daily brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. Now you'll have high school football coverage on Catch Kansas tomorrow night. TJ and gang ready to go for high school basketball season. You'll have a scoreboard show coming up as well here on KFH. So make sure you're tuned in for both of those things. As we come back, a little Royals talk for you here, TJ. So yesterday, I guess, so earlier this week, I don't know what day it was. I think it was Monday. We just haven't had a chance to talk about this. The state of Kansas basically said, all right, we're done with the Royals. Now, we suspected this, right? The state gave them a December 31st deadline to, I think, make a proposal. We've seen the Royals buy some land, but the lawmakers over and over were like, we're not extending that deadline. It's December 31st. And nothing came of it. And so now that it's passed, the messaging from Topeka is, yeah, we're done. And quite frankly, I'm not sure Kansas could support two of these anyway. So, okay, Kansas is off the table. Yesterday, it was Fox 4 in Kansas City reporting that Clay County is now saying basically the same thing. Gave them a deadline. They didn't hit it. We're done with the Royals. Same as the state of Kansas. All right. The Royals go from the driver's seat to about one option real quick. And that one option is a downtown stadium.
They got voted no on 2 years ago.
The downtown stadium did?
That was the downtown stadium and the Chiefs renovation deal that got said no.
No, yeah. You're talking about Jackson County.
In downtown, yes.
That was a collective sales tax agreement type thing. I don't think that was ever going to be the next proposal to get them downtown.
That was the proposal. That was the original proposal.
No, I mean the next step. Like the next step to get them downtown, I don't think they're going to put up to that same kind of funding.
No, it's going to be a different deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's on, like, now you pressure on the city. Basically,
the place you go from this is that, like, if they're going to stay, there's basically one. They had, like, six options. Four of them were in Kansas. One of them was in Clay County, and the other one is downtown. And so it's like, there's one option on the table, and Jackson County has made a push of saying, like, we're going to make this happen and we're going to figure it out. And like, now your clock is ticking to figure it out because you're the last ditch effort at this point. And then that was the first option. And you and I both agree it's the best option of all the ones that they've had. And so it's up to them to figure out.
John Sherman publicly wants too.
Yeah. It's the one that a lot of people, I think that if that vote didn't include the Chiefs, I think it would have passed.
No, that vote wouldn't have passed because that vote was a sales tax extension. So
if it wasn't a 3/8 sale, if they could figure out, because they're going to revote on this in April is the way this is going to happen. And it's probably gonna be like a 1/4
voting on a sales tax is not going to pass. It's not going to work.
I think it will.
Based on what? Like what?
The fact that Missouri is going to have a knee jerk of saying we lost the Chiefs. Who, like, we got to do something.
Voters in Missouri are going to have a knee jerk.
In Jackson County, probably they lost the Chiefs and they're pissed.
I think the politicians have more at stake than the. I think plenty of voters are just like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to pay more taxes.
I think that there's a lot of people that are going to say that, but I think that this one is going to pass. I think
it wasn't even close to passing.
I know, but I think that there was a lot of it of more so of the like, and we heard the feedback about like, why are we giving you 3/8 cents for like we understand, like I think in my mind it was saying like, we understand the Royals part, but why are we giving the Chiefs $500 million to make their parking lot look better? You know, and that was kind of the reason that I took away from it. And it was just kind of a weird thing to put them both together. I think if they could separate it and do what they were talking about doing with the Chiefs, was saying, all right, we're going to do 1/4 cent instead of 3/8 because we only need one team and not two, and just say, we're going to lower this and we're going to, what's in place, yeah, your taxes are going to go down and we're going to keep the Royals.
The taxes aren't going to go down though.
They will from what they are right now.
Go up. But
no, your they won't. Option, they're 3/8 right now.
The 3/8 expires. So you're going from 0 to 1/4.
Yes. It will be less than what it is right now.
We just went through this with a Wichita school bond. Hey, no, we're not raising taxes. We're not doing anything. And it's like, well, actually, the tax expires. So yes, you are raising taxes. You're extending a tax raise that expires. That's like saying we're gonna extend Chris Jones for 3 more years, but no new money against the cap. It's just the same contract. No, it would have been 0. Like, it's more than 0, and voters don't have an appetite for that right now. They better figure out another way to do it. Kansas got it through because Kansas didn't have to put it up to a vote. If there was a vote to bring the Chiefs over, it would have gotten real interesting. But they have a mechanism in place where they don't have to do that through a star bond. I don't know if Missouri can come up with something like that. I don't know if the city policies are the same as the county policies. I'm sorry that I don't know Kansas City and Missouri politics instead. Like, I have no idea. We'll have to get somebody in at some point. But to me, like, trying to go down the road of a sales tax increase, because that's what it is, in Jackson County is going to fail again. But if it moves downtown, and it is singularly the Royals, I have to imagine that the city also has mechanisms it can put in play here to do this. So that makes me think they're like, the chances of them by themselves going downtown rather than being a part of the bigger deal, I agree. I think that seems higher because they can maybe find some other funding mechanisms. But the problem with this is if you read what the Clay County guy's saying, it sounds like the Royals are being kind of weird with what they want and are doing. And they deadlines now expire. So what are you looking for, Royals? If you're at the same deal the Chiefs got, you're not going to get it. Yeah. You're not getting 70% of your stadium paid for.
Yeah, they had that in Kansas, and they like that's what Kansas, and I don't know if that changed once they got the Chiefs, but like that was a deal on the table, publicly on the table, of saying we have a thing we voted on and passed through to say 70%. If you come here, we'll figure it out. And they let it expire. And so I think if I had to try to read between the lines, I think that this is them saying like, yeah, it'd be a good deal for us to go to Kansas, but is that what we want? Like, we want to go downtown. And I think that that's probably, that may be why Kansas was just like, we're not going to sit here and keep doing this just for you to go downtown and do what you wanted to do originally. Right. And that's probably what happened. And so I think that that's where they sit now, of saying, like, this is what we wanted. We want to go downtown, and now it's up to Jackson County to figure out a way to get it to happen.
It's probably not this simple. I think one of two things happened. Either Kansas was stringing along the Royals, or the Royals were stringing along Kansas. And I don't know which is which. I can absolutely see from Kansas's perspective, it was like, we would like to get one or the other. We know realistically we can't do both. We'd rather have the Chiefs, but we're going to use the Royals as leverage in this thing. I could also see the Royals saying, what are the chances they actually get the Chiefs? And if they don't get the Chiefs, they're going to come at us hard, and we can use that against Kansas City downtown to get a better deal there. I think both of those, that's not even like a crazy conclusion to draw. Not sure it's either of them, not sure which one it would be, but it's a possibility. So now, if you really let Clay County just kind of go away, which would have also kind of been downtown Kansas City, by the way, the Royals, we're going to find out a lot about John Sherman, because either they had a plan for all this and it's all lined up and they can turn the screws to downtown Kansas City, and maybe they can get a little from the county, and maybe they can get a little from the city, and maybe it's a joint effort, or they just overplayed their hand big time. And if that's the case, back to the question before the break, the chances that the Royals could leave Kansas City are high. They don't have a place to play.
Yeah. I mean, they're not staying at Kauffman Stadium. I don't think they can. They claim they can't. They said they got the bad concrete that they can't play in there anymore.
The lease is going to expire, though.
But yeah, I mean, they'd have to sign a new lease if they stayed. But I don't think that's not going to happen. So I don't know. I mean, it raises the question of, you know, you saw what happened as soon as that vote ended. The state of Texas was saying, "We'll take the Chiefs. We want them." So I mean, if it happens, if it happens two times for the Royals for two straight years, basically, like when is somebody else going to be like, "Yeah, you know what? Let's come over here. We'll do it."
There are markets and base that would like to have baseball teams. Maybe if you get the Montreal Royals, like they'd love to have them back. You know, like there's a lot. But is John Sherman? Does John Sherman have the appetite to go that route, or does John Sherman have more of an appetite to pony up his own money, more of it than he would have liked to? This is a tough one. Now, these are tough, and the problem is, and we've seen these pass through. I don't think they'll get the vote if it's a sales tax vote like it was the first time. I don't think the vote's there. So what are the other options in the state of Missouri? I think, didn't they just come back and try to say, oh, now we have this new thing, but we can't do it until later down the road with the Chiefs? I think they tried to put something through state legislature, something not as good as a star bond, but maybe similar. What's the appetite for the state of Missouri? Who will the state of Missouri have as a pro team if the Royals were to leave? Who would they have left? The Cardinals and the Blues?
Cardinals and the Blues.
That's it? And you got the Kansas City sitting there as legitimately one of the great cities in the country, one of the more well-thought-of cities in the country that has all of this stuff going for it. Great arena downtown. They're about to knock it out of the park with the World Cup. There are rumors that Argentina is going to come up into the Kansas City area. Like, you've got all of these amazing things happening. You've got two soccer teams. I guess they would still have the KC Current in the state of Missouri. But you've got all these things happening, and you're just going to lose the Chiefs and the Royals? Like, it's the city's going to have to step it up a little bit.
It's a big deal. And as much as people want to say, like, the sports versus politics conversation, and they're like, why is this a big deal to me? Like, even if you don't give a bleep about the Royals, like, it's going to impact you on what it does. Like, if there's a World Series run through your town, like we saw what it looked like a decade ago, it's a big deal.
Look at the parades. I mean, if you're not a sports fan, but you're trying to deny the impact the Chiefs have had on the greater Kansas City area, you're just being stubborn. It puts you on the map. It puts your city on the map. Why do we sit here so frustrated today about Wichita State basketball? You don't know the number one reason it frustrates me? It's because that's Wichita's team.
Yep.
Like, I know that it makes the city of Wichita better when Wichita State men's basketball is really good. It puts us on the map nationally. It's the same idea, but amplified several times when you talk about Kansas City and the Chiefs. And the reality is, like, the Chiefs aren't leaving Kansas City. We know that. But from a revenue standpoint, all those things, they're leaving Missouri. The Chiefs are still going to be in Kansas City. They'll have the exact same fans. People are going to come to the game, like, whatever. People will wring their hands for a couple more years. Then they'll be excited for the new stadium. The Royals, I wish that I felt better about the situation. I do. I'll be devastated if there's not pro baseball any closer than I mean, you know, I suppose it would make my Texas Rangers the next closest pro team, but, like, that's going to be tough. So get it together. Like, what are we doing here? And I don't have sympathy for John Sherman here. At the end of the day, if you leave, you'll choose to leave. You can afford to build your own stadium. Build your own stadium if you want a new stadium. But if you're the city of Kansas City, you got to come up with something, because now there's only one option. And if you're desperate, John Sherman has you right where he wants you. And maybe that's what ends up happening here. But if everything has to go through a vote, man, I just don't know if there's the appetite for it right now. People are sick of their taxes going up. They don't like it. We're about to have a big one here in the city of Wichita. We'll see what happens. But when you ask people to, for a tax, like, nobody has the appetite for that right now in the current economy. I don't think that's going to change. People aren't going to stop feeling the impacts of inflation the last 5 years enough to say, yeah, you know what? Let's throw another 0.25% on there so we can have a baseball stadium.
I don't know.
That just doesn't seem like that's going to be the thing.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I do think that there is a real possibility that, like, I think that whatever the, I can't remember what it was, like 26% or something, yes, last time or something. It's something of that nature, like 26 to 74. Yes, first, no. Like, I think, like, if it doesn't pass, I mean, they're going to be right at 50. Like, they're going to get a knee jerk enough from losing the Chiefs that, like, people who voted no last time.
Though, you're not like the voters are only the people in that county. You're not talking about people in Wichita or people in Wyandotte County getting a vote on this. Like, they don't get to have a say. You're only talking about the people that live in Jackson County.
Yeah. But Wyandotte County is in Kansas. I don't know what your point is on that.
My point is you're looking at it from like all the Royals fans. There's an appetite from all the Royals fans about, to say, yes, okay, we can't lose them. The problem, and this is why it was such an overwhelming vote last time, is the financial part of this only impacts a sliver of them. And that sliver's got to take all the financial burden
for everybody else's team. I think that that sliver, whenever, and I obviously I don't live in Jackson County. I wasn't a voter last time, so I don't. I mean, who am I to say anything? But I think that last time out, the vote was the sentiment of saying, like, we're not going to give you 3/8 of a cent of our sales tax. Like, pay for your own stadium. What are you going to do? Leave Missouri? And then I think that they saw the Chiefs leave Missouri, and I think that this time around they're going to be like, I mean, if you can make it a little cheaper, we could make it work. Like, I think we don't want to lose both of you. Like, let's not be crazy here. Like, I didn't know that was a possibility that you could leave.
I'll just say this. I hope we don't have to find out. Yeah. I hope we don't.
That would
hopefully they if can I, figure if, something out without having to do that particular thing, because that's going to be real dicey at best.
You aren't a, you know, you're not a true Kansan. You're from Texas. You're not a true Royals person your whole life like I am. If they leave, is it going to be a St. Louis Rams situation? Well, what will I have to do? If, like, what would you do in my shoes if they move to Nashville?
Oh,
are you a Nashville Royals fan?
My wife has dealt with this with the Chargers. She's from San Diego.
Is she still a Chargers fan?
She don't care about the Chargers at all anymore. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they're in the playoffs. I think she'll be nostalgic for them, but no, she's like, all right, that's enough.
I'm telling you, like, Brock Wilson grew up in St. Louis and was diehard Rams, and they moved to LA, and he said, all right, I'm a Falcons fan now. Who cares about them anymore?
Yeah, you find a new team. You don't follow the Royals to some new city. I mean, you might for a minute because you like all the players because you've gone with them. You just find a new team. You can welcome to the party. Welcome to being a Rangers fan. You can get there in 5 hours. Good luck. But it, you know, that's all you can do. I mean, maybe it's the Oklahoma City Royals and you don't lose anything because they're just as close. I don't know. But it's
closer to Wichita.
I hope we don't have to have this conversation. Just forget. And again, it ain't my money. It ain't my vote. So it's easy for me to sit here and say, so I'll say it. Just figure out a way to get downtown. Just look, can we just, like, let's just pump the brakes.
It'll be so cool too. It's the best option that they've had. If they have the pedestrian bridge. And then I think, honestly, I think if they do that, then I think they can draw an NHL and an NBA team even harder than they have before.
I think that I agree.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And that insider is Tim Fitzgerald, publisher of GoPowerCat.com. At least long time resident of this area. I got to ask, before we get into K-State, we're just talking about the Royals. Clearly, got to get downtown. I'm getting slack. Do you think, I'll just ask you, if the vote went to Jackson County voters again to extend a sales tax and it's just the Royals here because we know the Chiefs are gone, how do you think that vote would go?
I think they might vote no again. I think Jackson County voters are sick of paying for these teams for the entire city, and I kind of get that, but I think they just need to get them downtown, and the attendance will skyrocket. I mean, how cool will that be to get off work, you know, work in the morning, go catch a daytime game downtown? Man, it would be amazing for downtown Kansas City.
We're all Kansans. Do you know, do you have any idea of the mechanisms of the politics of the area to know? Like, can they get downtown without a vote? Like, are there other mechanisms they can put in play?
I don't believe so. It's going to require a lot of taxpayer money. And
so maybe it becomes a citywide vote and not a county vote.
Yeah, they got to figure something out. Personally, I think it should be a Missouri vote. Missouri should be paying for the Royals, help pay for the Royals. I mean, Kansas is going to pay for the Chiefs, probably a lot of money. I think Missouri needs to step up and pay for the Royals. It's crazy that now Kansas is saying, well, we're not interested in the Royals at this point. And Missouri's like, well, maybe we can do something here. It's like, come on. You're literally on the verge of creating the Charlotte Royals if you don't figure this out pretty quick.
Charlotte. We said Nashville and Montreal. I'm glad we got our political insider, Tim Fitzgerald, on the show. Let's switch to our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, on the show. We haven't talked in a month, Fitz. Avery Johnson's back. He said he's coming back. He said there's no loyalty in college football, and he's proud to be a Wildcat. That's significant.
It is. It is. And it sends a message to the rest of the roster and the fan base. I just think the world of Avery because he made a very measured decision. You know, he was quiet. Unlike most of us nowadays, certainly of his youth and his era, he kept it to himself. He waited and to make the announcement. I think he probably considered options too. He's a very level-headed guy and just came to the conclusion that overall, not uprooting the entire family, because the entire family lives in Manhattan now, his parents. But it's, you know, he's here. He loves it here. Now that he got his friend Joshua Manning to come in from Missouri, I think he's pretty happy right now. He's recruiting, actively recruiting for K-State. So that's just a real positive jolt of energy.
We were talking about Manning yesterday. I want to be excited about that, Fitz. Help me get excited, but I think it's going to need to be more than that. And I don't even know what's out there that could be more than that.
Well, but
losing Jace Brown and going from Jace Brown to Josh Manning to me doesn't feel like a win. I'll just put it that way. No offense to Josh Manning, but in general terms, are we still confident that they can get a talent infusion pumped in here now that Avery's there?
Well, you know, that's a very valid question. First of all, I agree with you. I think fans are overly optimistic about Josh Manning. He's a good receiver. He's going to help Kansas State. But he wasn't a star at Missouri. He wasn't anywhere close to Jace Brown. I don't think they're done with receivers. I think they're going to go try to find exactly what we're talking about, someone that is, you know, going to be kind of impactful. But I'm not sure. And I think Josh is a really good young man, and I think he's going to fit in well. But I think fans are overhyped with him. And sometimes just starting over at a new school will bring out something else in you. But most of the time, you are what you are. And I think he's a very good receiver. He's not a star.
Fitz, we've seen so much portal movement. I made the joke yesterday on the show of as we get through this portal window, every addition is a good addition and nobody ever misses on anybody, because if you just see a name attached to your team, you got the next star, because nobody knows anything about anybody. You know more than we do. It seems like K-State has kind of attacked, you know, maybe like a bounce back SEC type of player, maybe a call up from a group of five, which is kind of the window the Big 12 always lives in. What kind of characters have you seen from the portal class so far?
Yeah, I think they are spending a lot of time outside of the Power Four looking for guys moving up. There's a reason. They're cheaper. You know, they don't have preconceived notions about how much they are worth. But, you know, it's just how the game's played nowadays. And it's kind of It's just an ugly process we're going through right now.
It is, but it is what it is. I don't even know. Like, do we even have? We talk about this with you a lot, Fitz, over the years. Do we even have, like, I don't know. Do we have hope that it gets better, or if so, like, when? When does it change? When do we see the next chapter?
The next thing that has to happen, this is what frustrates me the most, is everyone in college athletics is complaining about this. I mean, from ADs on down at universities, they're all just up in arms about this and how chaotic it is. But it's now the next step has to be the universities, the NCAA saying, okay, players, you need to organize and unionize because we've got to be able to negotiate with you in some way as a union. They've got to go there, and they don't want to go there. And also, they're probably going to end up with employees. Everything they don't want seems like it would calm things down. But I think we've also learned through this process, there are so many unintended consequences. We really fell for the idea that House versus NCAA, the settlement would calm things down. It's made it worse. And at this point, the only thing that can help the NCAA is some congressional protections and antitrust laws and actually negotiating with players on compensation and that thing as a group, as a union. Because everything that's happened here from the courts is a ruling that you can't apply rules to the players without them being represented. And I agree with that. And the NCAA just seems determined to not change that. Meanwhile, complaining the whole while about what the courts have done. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Fitz, maybe when we're talking to you on this show in a decade, we'll have it figured out by then. We have gone through this as well, we haven't spoken to you since we've seen the coaching staff start to get filled out. They get a former Jayhawk, Jordan Peterson, to come be their DC. Is a pretty big name to land that was a co-DC at Texas A&M opposite of Colin. That seems like a good one. They have basically everything except the OC so far. You know, what do you make of the staff that they've made so far, and do you know anything about the OC position?
I want to clear up the rumor that I'm the OC. Because that's not true. Hmm. I'm the OG.
They've been talking about a guy that has a lot of experience. Maybe
the
not
OG.
You know,
I like that.
Your kind of experience.
I have no idea what they're doing with. I'm so confused at this point because I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure how many coaches he's hiring because they've softened those rules. The rules now are all about how many guys can go out recruiting, not necessarily how many guys can coach. So maybe there's another hire in there. It seems like he's got every staff slot filled, but he also might be working in the direction now that I think actually makes a lot of sense. If you can hire a couple extra coaches, your coordinators don't coach a group, don't coach a position. They coordinate everyone. And maybe that's where we're headed with this because I think someone else calling plays have the ability to call plays is a good idea. I don't want Colin Klein feeling like, you know, in a 42-7 game, he's got to be calling all the plays. So I'm really interested by this. And I've come to believe this, guys. This might be, this was brought up by one of my guys. We've all suspected that the last hire might be in the still playing. And we all said college. But maybe it's NFL. Maybe it's someone at the NFL level that.
That's right. John Harbaugh, baby.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot that makes a lot of sense. John Harbaugh for OC.
John Harbaugh or Mike Gundy. Take your pick right now, Fitz.
I would you don't even know how excited I would be if it was Mike Gundy.
Oh my gosh.
All of us
would
be
so cool.
I would take a comb to press conferences to comb that thing out.
But he's real quick, Fitz, before we talk hoops, as we're talking college football. We asked this question earlier. What is the right team to root for in the CFP semifinal?
Oh, my. Probably Miami if you're a Big 12 person.
I'd see. Okay. I'm glad to hear you say that, actually. I kind of came around to that because it'd be nice to see the ACC win it, right?
It'd be nice to see the Big 10 SEC myth be broken.
Okay. That's interesting.
I don't know.
That might be the ticket. That might be the ticket. All right. Arizona Fitz kicked K-State's butt last night. Not a total surprise. We know it's been a brutal start to the schedule, but it's not now for the next four games. So if K-State's going to show us that they can be in the top, let's call it 7-8 of this league, how many of these next four do they need to win, and can they?
That's the big question. Well, I've been focused on the next two. They got to win the next two. They're at Arizona State on Saturday. Shout out to Ryan Gilbert, who's getting a brief Arizona vacation between these two games. You know, then they come home and play UCF, which is playing pretty good basketball, but they're a lot better at home. They got to find a way to win games just to get the momentum back. And if they win those two, I'll be open to talking about anything else. But I think they need a shorter runway to get back on track, because if you start talking about four games with these guys, they'll trip over the first one. This just shows you got to play defense. You just have to play defense. And I just saw a story from Kellis Robinette of the Eagle that Coach Tang was upset they didn't shoot enough threes. They shot like, what, 36? This is bizarro world. I don't even know what's going on right now. That ain't going to work. I mean, if you play bad defense and miss threes, you're going to lose by 25 points on the road. But let's be honest. Based on those two teams, based on what I saw last night, 25 was a reasonable outcome for Kansas State. That was a 40 points better.
What does it say about last night that I got back from the Shockers game and I asked our sports anchor working that night, I said, how's K-State doing? I said, oh, well, they're down by 13. I said, well, that's not bad.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Well, you know what? It was dreadful in the first half. It was reached 20. They got it to 15 at halftime. Then they came out and got it to 9 within 4 minutes. They're down by 9. It's a new game, right? No. Arizona said, okay, break time's over. Boys, they are so good. I was blown away by it. This conference is going to be brutal. So back to your point, Jacob, K-State's got to win when they can win.
Yeah, which hopefully is the next, at least two. I agree. It might need to be the next four. Fitz, we appreciate it. GoPowerCat.com. Go find all your K-State coverage there. Follow Fitz at Life of Fitz on X. We'll talk again next week. Happy New Year.
Thanks, boys. Good to talk to you.
All right, that does it for us here on Sports Daily. We have a busy night here, DJ, again. Not in the sense of, like, things of local interest, but we got a CFP semifinal coming up tonight. Yeah, can we get fired up for that? This is the problem with waiting a month. I don't know how much people even know that's happening tonight. Like, honestly.
I saw one of the, somebody made some joke on social media, you know, the SNL skit where it's like, we're going to do this. What about this? Well, no, that's just because of the way it is. It's like, all the games will be played on Saturday, so people are off work to watch them. Even the semifinals? No, of course not. They're on Thursdays and Fridays.
That's a good one. It's a good way to put it. Dan Patrick follows us at 11, followed by Jim Rome. BetMGM tonight with Brad Evans and Pat Boyle. Take you through the evening. We appreciate everybody for being here. Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald. We'll make football picks tomorrow. We got NFL playoff games and the rest of the CFP. Join us for that. Thanks for being here, everybody. For TJ, for Max, I'm Jacob. See you then.